From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, we begin our tribute to six Coast to Coast guests who have passed away. Amazing guests indeed. Here's what's happening. Wow. An elementary school principal in Nebraska has been placed on leave after telling teachers to avoid decorating their classrooms with Christmas-themed ornaments so as not to offend those who don't celebrate the holiday. Decorations that included Santa, Christmas trees, reindeer, green and red colored items, and even candy canes were not acceptable for the elementary school. He definitely said stay away from candy canes because the J looks like the name Jesus. Unbelievable. Pig hearts could soon be tested in humans after scientists passed an important milestone when transplanting the organs into primates. Back in 2000, the International Society for Heart and Lung Transplantation suggested that human trials would be considered once 60% of the primates could live for 3 months with at least some indication that longer survival was possible. Previous studies had only achieved up to 57 days survival, but it looks like they're going ahead with it now. A 41-year-old BBC radio host who suddenly, without explanation, walked off her live August 6 show was found later that day dead from suicide. Vicki Archer killed herself by hanging in her home. Strange. Sears Holdings Chairman Eddie Lampert says that he has made an offer valued at $4.6 billion to buy the bankrupt U.S. retailer, one of the only options that would prevent the department store chain from shutting its doors for good. Sears once was the largest retailing store in the United States. The S&P 500, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, slipping back to losses for the year as U.S. stocks fell on mounting worries of slowing global growth after a fresh twist in China-U.S. tensions, as well as lower oil prices and U.S. bond yields. Chuck Koppus, consultant with us. Chuck, is this the beginning of the end for the stock market, or is this just something?
Well, it really looks like it, George. We've had three warnings this year. February was a big drop, October, and now this. They're raising rates into weakness, essentially, and trade wars, which you mentioned. And look at the layoffs, Ford, GM, now Sears. So it's really weighing on the financial markets. 800 points on Tuesday. Of course, they were closed on Wednesday. And I think today they were dropped 600-700 points, but suddenly they all rebounded. And that was due to the plunge protection team, the working group on financial markets, which is intervening. So that's what we've had. And they were created in 1987. I would need to add that this was a 3% drop. In 1987, it was 23%. That today would be 6,000 points. I think that day's coming. People should be cautious. We're hedging our clients in precious metals, silver and gold. So anyway, good to be with you, and Merry Christmas to you out there.
You too, Chuck. Thanks for the expertise. Always appreciate it. Mediate, which is an online media outfit, has named their most influential people in the news media for 2018. Number three, our friend Matt Drudge. Congratulations, Matt. Number two, here's a surprise, CNN's chief, Jeff Zucker. And number one, Sean Hannity. Congratulations, Sean, on that. What else is going on these days in the skies? Let's check in with none other than Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. Hey, Peter.
Well, good evening, George. It's been somewhat of a slow week, but have some very intriguing reports nevertheless. The first one comes from Rogersville, Tennessee. Last Friday, the 30th of November, a gentleman writes he was standing outside at his rural residence about 10:05 a.m. when his wife called him on his cell phone and said, "You better go down to the horse stalls and see what's down there." Since they lodge fairly valuable horses, he writes he wasted no time to get down there. He was utterly stunned to see a bronze rectangular-shaped object hovering over one of the stalls, one of the horse buildings. Has no idea what it was. His wife came down and joined him, and she was equally flabbergasted by it. That report is posted to our website now. What corroborates it to a degree, I feel, is a similar sighting from the next, from a few hours later, 12 hours later, this one comes from Seven Devils, North Carolina, about 40 miles northeast of Asheville, where you've been recently. Gentleman writes that he was outside looking north, admiring Hawk's Nest Ski Resort, when his attention was drawn to a dark object against the night sky, had about a dozen yellow lights on the ventral surface of it. It was below his altitude, so he had a very good idea of how large it was. He estimates that it was the size of a football field, and it was shaped much like he equates it to an iPhone. That was its relative dimension. Suddenly, it just streaked off into the night sky. Next report comes from your area of the country, St. Louis, Missouri.
Where you spotted one a long time ago.
Yeah, I did. That sighting in 1954 is as clear in my memory, George, as it would be had I seen it just last night.
Wow.
But last Sunday night, just about the time I estimate you were having an early dinner preparing for your first Sunday broadcast, a gentleman was standing outside looking towards South Louisiana Street, and he saw a cluster. I think I understand what he's writing here, a cluster of very intensely bright lights flashing and strobing. It passed from one horizon to the other, he estimates, in about 5 seconds. So if you'd been outside, you might have seen something very unusual. Next report comes from Twin Falls, Idaho. About an hour and a half after this sighting in St. Louis, a gentleman writes he saw some dark objects with amber-colored lights hovering in the sky near the Twin Falls, Idaho airport. The color lights, if he doesn't have a color deficit, that's very significant because you may not, it is illegal to have an amber-colored light on an aircraft. They have to be either red, green, or white. This object suddenly moved off and just disappeared from his sight. And the last report I'll discuss comes from Arizona. This is two nights ago. Gentleman was driving from Tucson to Chandler early morning, I guess 4:45 in the morning, he writes. And as he drove, I presume, on Interstate 10, the whole area he was in lit up like it was broad daylight. I've reported a couple incidents like that in the recent past. I have no explanation for him, George. And I'll squeeze one more report in here, if I may. This one comes from Galveston, Texas. And I mention this because I've reported similar events over the last several months. Gentlemen saw a bright green egg-shaped object shoot down out of the sky and go directly, he thinks, directly into the water, not too far from him. If it wasn't a meteor, I have no idea what that was. So lots going on, as is always the case.
Any truth that on March 23rd, when you're one of our guests at Everett, Washington, you're being beamed aboard?
Well, I might talk about some of the reports that I've received from Everett and Marysville and Arlington area. We had a really very exciting report. Oh, I guess it was June of 2015, if I remember correctly. A cluster of these strange orange objects, about a dozen of them, right at Smoky Point exit off Interstate 5. I'll try to discuss that when I appear with you.
I look forward to seeing you. And, Peter, we'll talk to you next week as well. Up next, the Mystic Healer joins us, Sonia Grace, on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast this hour. The Mystic Healer with us, Sonia Grace, and of course her latest work is called Dancing with Raven and Bear. And Sonia, that sounds like either the beginning of a children's book or something with Native Americans. What is it?
Hi, George. It's so nice to be here. Hi. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Dancing with Raven and Bear is a book of earth medicine and animal magic. And it is a collection of stories that I have written in my native heritage. So they're teaching stories, but they're all about Bear and Raven, who are two characters that are, you know, the stories are about. Bear's a medicine man, and Raven is sort of this trickster character that is his sidekick. And they're really magical stories, very magical.
Are they based on anybody real?
No, they are stories that basically came to me, as in their original stories that I've written, because of all the work I do day in and day out with my clients on the phone, you know, approaching different topics like love and loss and dreaming and death and the illusion and, you know, everything that you can think of that a person might call me and talk to me about has been woven into these stories. Because sometimes, and I know you know this, George, because you're on the air every night, people will only hear what they are capable of hearing based on, you know, their emotional wounds and their filters and where they're at. And so this was my way of creating a little bit of magic that can get in there, and hopefully people can hear the story from the angle in which I'm telling it.
You saw a couple of UFOs near your home in Arizona. Tell us what happened.
I did. I was so excited. I sent Tom the pictures. I hope you got to see them.
I'm in St. Louis, so he's hoarding them for himself back in L.A.
Oh, we have to get after Tom.
I'll be back in a month or so, though.
Okay. I ran outside and jumped up on the bench that we have in the backyard and took pictures of the sunset. It was this beautiful sunset.
Yeah.
And I looked closer, and I kind of zoomed in, and there was a disc shape, but it was quite large, and it looked kind of shrouded, I'm going to say, in an energy field of some sort. There was energy coming off the top of it, and I kept zooming in more and more and, you know, getting the picture larger, and it stayed there for a while, and I heard from another person down in Phoenix that a friend of hers had seen this as well. And then just, I think it was last night, I, again, at sunset, caught a series of, it looked like holes in the clouds, but it was so evenly placed and so odd because it looked like a series of ships just right one after the other in the sky. And somebody in Pennsylvania wrote to me and said, oh, my God, we saw exactly the same thing in the sky here. So that was interesting. Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing quite a bit of activity from my backyard in Arizona. And it's pretty exciting.
A lot of sightings out that way. Sonia, we call you the mystic healer. What exactly does that mean?
Well, I am a healer by trade. I work long distance on people all over the world, and I am able to defy time and space by literally putting myself in front of that person, wherever they are, Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, you know, England, Scotland, wherever they are, and work on them. And so I work on hearts and livers and spleens and kidneys and, you know, bones, blood, you name it, I've worked on it. And in the process of doing this work, I address the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual bodies. So I'm doing a lot of processing work with people at the same time, you know, helping them understand why they're ill. What is the emotional wound that they've been carrying around since they were 2 years old that's now manifested into some kind of illness in their body? So the mystic part of my work is, of course, my gifts and my abilities. And the healer part is, you know, that's who I am. I'm a healer.
Are you like John of God from Brazil, who heals people, you know, in his own way?
You know, George, John, I think John of God is really a very special human being on Earth.
So are you.
Thank you. And I respect what he does. We're very different. I do not allow for a spirit of, you know, a surgeon or someone to enter my body. I am more the type of person where no one is going to do that. I'm going to work on this person and basically ask God and the angels to have that, you know, divine intervention when I'm working. I'm not. I respect what he does, but I'm not a big fan of, you know, ghosts stepping into me. It's like, ugh, no.
And he also does removals of some body parts too. You don't do that.
He does. You know, I remove things all the time. In fact, one of the main things that I do with people is I clear entities and alien stuff and aliens. I remove implants from people's bodies. And, you know,
you mean physically?
Pardon?
Physically you remove them?
Yes, but I am where I am, you know, in my office doing this long distance. And that's the part that's hard for people to understand. But if you talk to people who have had implants removed by me, and you should talk to Mike Barra about this. Hi, Mike.
I'm sure he's out there listening.
He is. He'll tell you that there are, he can feel it. And other people I've removed these implants from can feel it. And, you know, we think of things in real solid black and white. Oh, it's in front of me, so it must be real. But the level of technology and the vibration or energy that a lot of the ETs are in is nothing that we understand or are familiar with. So I'm able to go in there and remove this stuff. And I do the same thing in the physical body of, you know, removing a cyst or some kind of congestion in the heart, that kind of thing.
Well, now, how do you remove from afar? How do you do that? You're not there touching them. You're not
extracting
anything physically. So how do you do
it? Well, it's my relationship with time and space.
Does it dissolve, or what happens?
It's like I'm not in time and space. I know that sounds really crazy, but it's not. I'm not in time and space in the way that most people experience it. So I'm able to put myself in front of you and then go into your body and do the work as if I was right there in front of you. But what's nice about it being long distance is that I can sort of go past what would be difficult if you were in front of me, George, and I was trying to reach into, you know, work on your shoulder or something. Then my hand's running into your shoulder and I can't reach into your shoulder. So it's a gift that I have, and certainly it extends into, you know, Spirit Traveler, my book Spirit Traveler that you and I have talked about before. Much of what I write about in Dancing with Raven and Bear our stories derived from my abilities and my relationship to time travel.
Sonia's website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. How close are you to what Edgar Cayce used to do?
I think I'm probably right there. In fact, when I overwork, I usually turn and look at my husband and say, I think I just pulled an Edgar Cayce.
Do you get exhausted sometimes?
From working on too many people.
Oh, he did. Absolutely. He was exhausted, and it got to him.
Yeah, I know, and I have to really watch that because I tend to overdo it. I'm actually booking March right now on my calendar.
How many do you handle a day or a week?
Well, I try. You know, I'm really should only work on about four people a day, and I'm doing right now. I'm working on about, you know, ten to.
Oh gosh, Sonia, be careful!
I know.
You're going to push yourself into the ground.
I know. I appreciate that, and I'm trying to pace myself. I wanted to let you know that I am super super excited to be doing a luncheon again, February 19th. And you're not going to be there, right? Or is Tom?
I don't know. No, I may be back by then. I'm pretty sure I'll be in Los Angeles. He's got my schedule. You know, I'm like a robot when it comes to you know, travel. You know, he just says,
February 19th.
You're here.
It's February 19th at the Great Greek Restaurant again in Sherman Oaks, and I'm planning on you being there.
Well, I know I'm going to be in Los Angeles then. That's okay. For sure. So maybe he's got me scheduled for that.
Okay.
I have told Tom, give me a month ahead of time, no more, other than, and he's telling me in my ear I may not be there. So he's probably sending me someplace else. But stay with us.
Tom and I will be there.
Sonia, we're going to take phone calls with you when we come right back in just a moment. Folks, this is your only opportunity tonight to make calls, because next hour and for the next 3 hours, our special tribute to Coast guests who have passed on. So we have phone calls next with Sonia Grace. We'll be back. By the way, we did a Beyond Belief show with Sonia Grace that you can see by going to beyondbelief.com. She is remarkable on television as she is on radio. Sonia, we're going to go to calls here. When you do your mystic healing, what has been the one case that you can remember that just was the most dramatic you've ever done? Is there one?
Yeah, there is. There is one. There was a little boy. The mom called me, and she said, my son is 5 years old, and his left arm has not really been moving or working well his whole life, and he's delayed. He's got a lot of things going on. She'd done brain mapping with him. She'd taken him to doctors in Boulder, Colorado, and all over the place. And she said, I think you're my last but most important piece of helping me figure this out. And when I went in to work on him, I was, of course, in another state. She was clear across the country. I went in to work on him, and I saw these beings standing next to him, and they were quite alien in nature.
I bet.
Jeez. I started to clear the room and clear them out, and they said, no, please don't make us go. We're his parents. And this kid was a starseed. It was his first incarnation in human form. And I went in and just redid all his energy systems and got him in his body. And that very next day, he had full use of his left arm, and I had told his mom that he was quite brilliant, and he was going to be reading an eighth or ninth grade level work when he's only in fifth and sixth grade. And she's kept in touch with me, and she told me that he is totally at the top of his class and is reading and doing math at least 3 to 4 years ahead of his class.
In your new book, Dancing with Raven and Bear, which ties in animals, tell me the overall theme of this book again.
Well, the overall theme is helping people through stories to feel something. I mean, I think that's really, George, what everybody wants. Everybody wants to feel it. They want to believe it. They want to experience it. And I had one person who read this book. He said to me, I felt completely as if I had gone into a different dimension reading these stories. He said, I didn't want to come out of it. And that's what I was hoping to do. I was so happy he said that, because I wanted people to have an experience. And these stories are magical. I mean, I cry when I read this book, because it really takes you somewhere, and I think that's what everyone is looking for, is I want to feel something and I want to experience something rather than I've got to go to work and I've got to drive and I've got to pay the bills. So I highly recommend this book, because it touches upon all of these different elements in which that we deal with day in and day out. I wrote one chapter called Holding Darkness at Bay, and it's about Bear really, learning and understanding what it means to hold darkness at bay. And God, George, how many people call me and say, how do I protect myself? How do I keep entities out of my field? How do I keep aliens away from me? They keep bothering me. And this is a story that really teaches us how to do that.
Well, let's go to the calls for you. Let's go to our first-time caller, Jake, in Eugene, Oregon. Hey, Jake. Thanks for calling.
Hi there, George. Hi, Sonia. First-time caller, but I've been listening for a little while.
Thank you.
I kind of came in to the end of a part of your conversation where you were talking about angels. I'm an independent Catholic priest with an open mind, and I was just wondering, when you say angels and things like that, where do you lie on the, one, the idea of where you're receiving your gifts from, and two, are angels, saints, and other deities like that a part of this spectrum of entities that you're talking about?
Wow, I'm just so honored that you would call in and talk to me. I have a deacon of the Catholic Church who's a client of mine, and also a Tibetan priest, and several nuns that have called me. So it's really wonderful to talk to you. I view angels as benevolent beings. I work primarily with Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and Uriel. I'm really old school in that I only call upon the angels to help me, and feel that that is the closest connection, of course, next to God. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, God's energy, should we be clear enough as vessels, is truly what comes and works through me.
What do you find angels as, messengers, or as something direct that, you know, they're part of?
Oh, no, like if someone calls me and says, hey, my mom's sick in the hospital, the first thing I do is ask for the angels to come in and help that person. You know, I ask Michael and Gabriel and Raphael and Uriel to please go and work on that person. You know, I'm there. That's really
and
important.
Sometimes you don't have to ask. They're already there, right?
Well, sure. Absolutely. I've tuned into people and, you know, in dire straits, and there's angels surrounding them. So, yes.
Let's go to Michelle in Lake Tahoe, California. Hi, Michelle.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
George, I want to ask you, I think a long time ago I asked you to put me on a prayer list. I don't remember if I did
you,
or not.
You are on the list.
Thank you. And what I want to know is I have type 1 related kidney failure and end stage. Where I can't get into the reasons why I've decided not to do the dialysis or transplant, you know, realm. I'd like to know why, you know, why I have a kidney issue. And for the last month, an unexpected extreme neck spasms all around my neck have happened, and nobody can figure it out why. And I've been to a whole bunch of holistic and regular doctors.
And both your kidneys, Michelle, are acting up?
Yeah, both of my kidneys are
okay.
Almost gone.
Anything?
And I would love to get in to see this lady, but they say I'm not going to make it till March.
Well, you better. Jeez. Sonia, take it away.
Okay. So first of all, what's happening to you is karmic. And what happens to any of us at any point in our lives is karmic, meaning you have had past lives where you have died, or you have been killed, or something has happened to you in a very dramatic way involving your back and your kidneys. So this is sort of like, oh, here it is again. How are you going to deal with it this time? Kidneys are primarily the emotion of fear. When we have fear, it's like that's the organ in the body, just like liver is anger and lungs are grief. So there's some really, really deep element of fear here that you're dealing with, or you're not, but that's what's going on. And I feel that, you know, I feel that it's so important, obviously, that you handle this the way that you feel best to handle it, but that you also know that, you know, your process and how this is happening for you is directly connected to your past lives. And the more that you can get into that and work with that, the more you help the present situation. I would be more than happy to help you and work on you, and you are more than welcome to call my office, okay?
Through your website, right?
Yeah, through my website.
Which is linked up at coasttocoastam.com, Michelle.
Yeah.
When you just go and look at tonight's guest, you'll see Sonia's name. Click that, and that'll take you straight to your
website. Yeah, just fill out the contact form and contact me, okay?
Tom's got a text or tweet back in L.A. What do you have, Tom?
Sonia, this is from Katrina in San Francisco. Please ask Sonia if a person's attitude can affect their mental well-being as well as their physical health, and if so, what can you do to correct that?
I know what you're going to say, Sonia. Go ahead.
You know me so well, George.
Yes, I
yes,
do.
Your attitude can totally affect your health. I mean, if you're bummed out and crabby and cranky and, you know, you're growling at everybody, it's going to affect your health because all of that negative energy is just, you know, going into your system and then it's going out into the world. And then guess what? You're manifesting it back to you and it's affecting you double. So, you know, should we all walk around, you know, and be silly happy all the time? Well, no, but we should certainly try to remember that if we're feeling good and we're feeling positive about things, we're going to manifest that energy back to us. And our organs in our body are going to be a lot happier because we're happy. It's kind of like, you know, if our attitude is really, really aligned with sort of the purpose of why we're here and that we are really living our lives in service and helping each other, we're going to have a lot of good stuff come back to us.
Attitude is critical, isn't it?
Yes.
Let's go next to Randy in Nebraska, east of the Rockies. Hi, Randy. Good morning.
Bless you, George, for taking my call.
Thank you, sir.
I want to ask Sonia. I feel like there's something maybe in my brain that's killing me. Mm-hmm. Can you tell what that is? Or
you feel like there's something in your brain?
That's doing him in.
It's doing you. Yes. And do you have headaches? Are you having pain?
Well, I'm just having a weird feeling around my head all the time. I feel sick.
Have you had an MRI, Randy?
No, I haven't. Okay. Not on my head.
You might want to do that first, but go ahead, Sonia.
No, and thank you, George. That's what I would suggest too, and what I'm hearing from my guides who are high angelic beings. They're saying that you should go get some kind of brain scan and get that checked out. I think that there's things that can kind of create a congestion around the brain and the head, and we need to clear that. But you know, in the meantime, this is where Western medicine really can serve all of us in that we can get that checked out, and then, you know, and then you can call me and make an appointment.
And what you want to do with an MRI, Randy, is rule things out, and that's what it will do.
Right.
It's not easy to do an MRI. I can't slip myself into a tube like that. So, yeah, I go crazy.
I know.
I did, about 4 or 5 years ago, I was going to have an MRI for just something, but they wanted to scope all of me. I think I had like a sore back or something.
Uh-huh.
And they put you in this tube and give you a button to squeeze in case you panic.
Right.
And once you're in the tube, they tell you, you cannot move for 40 minutes, and the top of the tube is like an inch away from your nose.
Right.
I mean, so you're in this casket, basically.
Yes.
And you know what? I lasted maybe 20 seconds, and I squeezed the button, and I said, pull me out of this thing. Get me out of here.
No.
I couldn't go through it.
Well, and there's such a loud noise that you have to contend with while you lay there.
But in your case, Randy, they've got what is called an open MRI now, but it's still a little jarring. But do it, because you want to rule things out. And if you feel something's going on up there in your head, in your brain, you may be right. You may be right. Mike in Wyoming. Take it away, Michael. Hey, Mike.
Okay. Yeah, George, how are you tonight?
Fine, Michael. Thank you.
Miss Sarah, I've got a cyst on my right kidney.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the least of the problems I've got. I've got 3 or 4 levels in my neck that's all messed up, that's affecting my arms all the way down through my shoulders to my wrist where I got severe carpal tunnel. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you can do for me?
Well, yeah, if you called me and made an appointment, sure, I could spend an hour and work on you. And it, you know, the thing I always tell my clients is when I work on people on the reservation where I'm from, because they're, you know, the whole understanding of health is they see the medicine man, or in my case, they call me a medicine woman. And so there is an almost instantaneous healing that I experience with everybody that I work on out there, because that's the mindset that they're in. You know, if I get someone who calls me and they want me to work on them, but they're apprehensive or they're a little bit unsure, it might take a little bit of time. It might even take several weeks before they make that shift and they start to get better. And for some people, there is such a karmic event happening for them. Their karma is so in play that they have to work through something emotionally and, you know, spiritually to get well. And, you know, I'd be more than happy to, you know, set an appointment up with you and help you and work with you. But I think it's important to know that this isn't, that this is a participation sport.
It takes two to tango, so to speak.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, a cyst on a kidney is dissolvable if you can work at that, Sonia.
Oh, absolutely. And I have dissolved many cysts. I've actually worked on lesions on the liver and
that's more serious than the kidneys.
They couldn't find them. When they went and scanned the person, they couldn't find the lesions. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Did you have this gift when you were a kid?
I did. I remember when I was 5 years old putting my hands on our dog who had big cysts on her back and trying to dissolve them and work on her and heal her. I have so many memories as a child, really young, you know, lots of wild things happening, spirits in the room and, you know, seeing things.
That's amazing work. Now, for your book, Dancing with Raven and Bear, where do people get it?
Well, they can get it on my website, soniagrace.com, and that's S-O-N-J-A, or they can go to Inner Traditions, my publisher, and order it there, or Amazon. It's being sold everywhere, and I highly recommend it. Be a great Christmas present for people, because the stories are something that you not only could share and read with your partner or your friends or your family. I mean, it's a wonderful book to share.
Why isn't your name spelled S-O-N-Y-A? It would be easier to pronounce.
Because I was named George after Sonia Henning, the ice skater. and her name was S-O-N-J-A. Plus, it's the Norwegian spelling, and my father came from Norway.
I remember the first time that we had you on the show, Tom kept saying, Sonia, Sonia. And I wanted to say, Sonja, Sonja.
People say it different all the time.
Very good. All right, Sonia, thanks again. You take care of yourself. Good luck with your lunch in Los Angeles in February. I'll be back in a moment. Six coast-to-coast guests, more than that, of course, have passed on. But we will highlight and tribute six of them.
Find out more about tonight's guest. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.